Our first lesson this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the 7th month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the scribe, priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine. And send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God. Do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
In our second lesson, we will hear Jesus read from the scriptures. Our second lesson comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and then he began to say to them, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So, in our reading from Luke today, Jesus was teaching in the synagogues. Now, a synagogue is different from the temple. The temple was only in Jerusalem. It was where God dwelled. It was the place of the Holy of Holies. The synagogue was more of a community meeting place. Archaeologists have excavated some early synagogues, and they've described them as square or rectangular spaces with benches, some on all four sides, some on only three sides. And apparently, Galilee had many such places. Archaeologists have identified as many as 50 throughout the Galilee. And in 2016, a synagogue believed to be the very synagogue in the passage that I just read was discovered. So, let's, in our imaginations, go back to Galilee. Let's go to one of those synagogues. Let's sit in the synagogue where Jesus picks up the scroll. Try to picture the scene. Jesus is filled with the power of the Spirit, Luke tells us, and he has just returned to Galilee from being in the wilderness for 40 days. And he has begun teaching in the synagogues. And chapter 4 of Luke, you might remember, begins with Jesus' baptism, and then after his baptism, Jesus was full of the Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And our passage this morning began with Jesus filled with the power of the Spirit. Now, he was in the synagogue as was his custom. And he stands up to read. He probably stands in the very center of the room. And we are told that the scroll of Isaiah was given to him. And now this gave me pause because these scrolls are heavy. And Jesus would have needed a place to unroll the scroll. And, you know, where did he unroll it? In a modern synagogue, there's a bima, which is a table, basically, where the scroll is unrolled. And did he ask for the scroll of Isaiah, or was it just given to him? So we don't really know what the custom was in Jesus' time. But we do know that most Jews were very familiar with the scroll of Isaiah. And we know from Luke's description that Jesus, quote, found the place where it was written, close quote. Ah, so it sounds as though Jesus chose the words that we heard. And look at the passage that Jesus reads from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's the piece from Isaiah that Jesus has read. And those sitting in the synagogue, us sitting in the synagogue, we would recognize those words immediately. These are the words that give hope. For they talk about the year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee year. And these people who were sitting in the synagogue, they may have gone back to the story that Tammy read this morning of Ezra reading from the Torah scrolls. And Ezra was reading the Torah in public, marking the beginning of a new era in Judaism. And Jesus is also marking a new beginning, whether those present know it or not. So here you are, sitting in the local house of worship, hearing the local boy made good reading. And then he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, and he sits down. Might you think, wait, this is Joseph the carpenter's son. Is he saying he's the prophet with the mission outlined in Isaiah? Is he saying that he has been anointed to bring good news to the poor? That he has been sent to proclaim, to release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind? Who does he think he is? Or might you think, I always knew there was something special about that boy. Or might you think, did I misunderstand? Did he say today the scripture has been fulfilled? Not the scripture will be fulfilled, but today it has been fulfilled? And what about Jesus? What was he feeling, thinking? Father Michael Marsh wonders, as he wrote, I wonder what Jesus was feeling as he read the scriptures that day in synagogue. I wonder if he was anxious or afraid about telling them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Father Marsh goes on to say, I wonder if he worried about what the people would think of him making such a claim. I wonder if his heart was beating fast and if he had butterflies in his stomach. I wonder what expressions he saw on all the faces that day. Father Marsh wonders, was it acceptance and understanding, anger and rejection, confusion, disbelief, indifference, boredom? I wonder what he saw in their eyes and how it felt to be looked at by them. I wonder if he had any idea where all this would take them. And Father Marsh's words made me realize I have never given any thought to what Jesus might be feeling. And as we have been focusing on the incarnation, on Jesus' humanity, I realize, of course, Jesus must have had feelings. He was human, after all. And as a Jew, Scripture would be very important to him. He quoted Scripture often. He knew the meaning of many of the passages when he would say things like, you have heard it said, but I say to you. He is expanding on the Scripture. He knew and relied on the Scripture. He must have spent a lot of time learning Scripture, memorizing passages. So reading these two stories today, the story of Ezra reading Torah publicly, the story of Jesus reading Isaiah in the synagogue, it made me ask myself, how important is Scripture to me, to us today? What role does Scripture play in our lives? How well do we really know the passages that Jesus quotes throughout the entire New Testament? How many times does Jesus said, "You have heard it said"? Have we heard it said? I can tell you that after having been in a disciple group for many years, reading and studying the Bible in a group of seekers, Scripture has become much more important to me. We read the Hebrew Bible together, and I am reminded that the Bible is full of God's stories of comfort in times like the ones we are living through now, in times of uncertainty. We read the Gospels with a sense of wonder at the events of over 2,000 years ago that we are still speaking about today. And we read Paul's letters, often in a state of confusion and sometimes with a bit of understanding. But always, always we find something new in whatever it is we're reading together. When people heard Ezra reading Torah in public, Nehemiah tells us they wept. Have you ever been moved to tears reading Scripture? After Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah, Luke tells us the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. When you read the Gospels, do you find your eyes fixed on Jesus? This morning at the Faith for Life session, some of us watched a short video of N.T. Wright talking about reading the Scripture as if we were present, as if we were in Jesus' presence. Read the Gospel as if you were there with your eyes fixed on Jesus. How would that change how we understand Scripture? Father Richard Rohr has said that Jesus didn't tell us to worship him. Jesus told us to follow him. Follow him. Look carefully at what Jesus says he's about to do. He is going to bring good news to the poor. He's going to proclaim release to the captives. He's going to make the blind see. He's going to let the oppressed go free. Elizabeth Johnson, a professor at the Lutheran Institute of Technology, tells us that, and I'm quoting now, the word translated poor from the Greek has to do with economic status as well as other factors that lowered one's status in the first century world. Factors such as gender, genealogy, education, occupation, sickness, disability, and degree of religious purity. Jesus' mission is directed at the poor in the holistic sense of those who, for various reasons, are relegated to the margins of society. She goes on to end by saying, Jesus refuses to recognize these socially determined boundaries, insisting that these very outsiders are the special objects of God's grace and mercy. And so, friends, we are called to follow Jesus to the margins of society. Father Greg Boyle, the founder of Homeboy Industries, who works with gangs in California, reminds us that, and he said this in many different ways, you are not going to the margins to reach people. You are going out to the margins to be reached. Are we ready to be reached? To be changed? To let Scripture wash over us and transform us? Today, this Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You have heard Jesus' words. His ministry began on that Sabbath in Galilee among those who had known him and watched him grow into the man we see in Luke. You weren't there, but you are here today. So, follow Jesus. See where he leads you. May it be so. Amen.